I would like to start off by saying good evening, everyone. I hope y'all have had a nice day, and I hope that this will be a great end to y'all's night. As you know, this month's theme is understanding Christ's authority. And tonight, I would like us to focus on understanding Christ's authority as builder of the church. Now, whenever we talk about Christ being the builder of the church, some of us may think of Matthew chapter 16. And I would like for us to key in on verses 18 through 19, in which Jesus would say to Peter, "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Now, many question as to who this rock is that Jesus was going to build his church upon, but it's no mystery. If we just go two verses up to Matthew 16 and verse 16, the Bible reads, "And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I say to you all, without a doubt, that upon this bedrock of truth, that upon this great confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, that this is the rock which the church is built upon." And no wonder the Apostle Paul would say in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 11, "For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And this foundation holds up the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." 1 Timothy 3:15. Now, when we read Acts 20 and verse 28, we learn that Christ purchased the church with his own blood. And according to Ephesians 3 and verse 21, the church, the body of Christ, is the only, if you will, location in which man who is on earth can be able to glorify God who is in heaven. Ephesians 3:21 says, "To him, to God the Father, be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." And we also know that Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her by the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Ephesians 5 verses 25 through 27. And I'm reminded that in Ephesians 1 verses 22 through 23, that Paul would say that God the Father put all things under Christ's feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And we all need to be coming to him. We all need to be coming to Christ as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 2 verses 4 through 5, and focusing on verse 5, which says, "You also as living stones." From this, I gather that each individual Christian is a living stone. And since we're talking about Christ being the builder of the church and us being living stones which make up the church, he has all authority to put every living stone in their place. Now, I would like you all to please imagine with me a bricklayer. And after he goes and puts mortar on that brick, can you just imagine him going and right before he's about to place that brick, the brick saying, "No, I don't want to be there. I think I'd be better over there on that side of the building." Now, how much more so me and you as living stones rejecting where Christ the builder wants us to be? That's foolishness. When we read the New Testament, it's the blueprint that shows us how the church should look. And we need to read it as many times as we can. And then after some time, We need to go out into this world and start putting it into action. We need to start obeying it so that we can start seeing the effects that it can have in our lives, that we can start bringing forth fruit. And because I'm reminded of what the Hebrews writer would write in Hebrews 5, verses 8 through 9, that Christ, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Brothers and sisters, let's obey the builder. Let's obey Christ. I have some questions for y'all. Are y'all obeying the builder? Are you obeying the builder's instructions, his blueprint? I would like for us to think about what the builder would tell us. Christ would say in Matthew 6, verse 25, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your lives." And of course, in this context, Jesus was talking about food, water, and clothing. But we can apply this to every aspect of our life. There's no need to worry. We just ought to obey the builder's command. I'm reminded what Jesus would say in John 13, verses 34 through 35. "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also may love one another. And by this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." And lastly, the builder, Christ, would tell us in Mark 8, verses 34 to 38, Jesus would say, "When he had called the people to himself with his disciples, he said to them, 'Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." We've got the builder's instructions. We've got the blueprint so that the church can be the most glorious place on earth, that it can be the most glorious location, if you will, on earth. Because we know that the church, it's not physical, but rather spiritual. And just like Christ is the head of the church, just like how we have a head in our body, and our head sends signals to the rest of the body and tells it what to do, that's the same thing with Christ. He's the head of his spiritual body, and he sends signals and commands every single member on what they should do. Now, as we come to a close, there may be some living stones here that have fell out of place, and we want you to come back and have Christ come and put you back where you belong. And also, there may be some here that haven't obeyed the gospel. That means that you're not a member of the body. That means that you're not a living stone. And if you would like to change that, if you would like to become a member of the body of Christ, won't you repent? You've already heard the word. Won't you believe it? Because Jesus would say in Luke 13:3, "But I tell you, no, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." And if you're willing to repent, won't you be immersed in water? Won't you confess the name of Christ, rather, and then be immersed into water for the remission of your sins? And you'll be added to the body of Christ. And then after that, won't you live faithfully unto death? And he will give you the crown of life, Revelation 2:10. Or if you're just needing prayers, won't you come forward? Won't you let us pray for you? We love you. Now, as we together stand and sing.